We have a special blessing in store for us this morning, brethren. Our brother Dariush Grujin is here to serve us. This is his first trip to the United States, and he's been here for about a month now. He's been traveling all over the country. My path crossed with him at the Jackson Convention in Labor Day and also at the Portland Convention a few weeks ago, where Dariush also served. And he comes to us from the class in Czarnów, Poland. And I asked Dariusz to tell me a little bit about his class so that I could share with you a little bit about him. He told me that they have in their class about 60 consecrated. The class is about 100 in size. And they have 6 elders and 6 deacons, and they own their own building where they meet. So the class is perhaps quite a bit like ours in its size and in its service. Brother Dariusz has chosen as his subject today, three mistakes of David. Three mistakes of David. Brother Dariusz.
Thank you, brother. Pokój braciom i siostro. Dear brethren, I decided in this class, in this city, I should greet first in Polish. Maybe I should say buongiorno too. But I know most of you enjoy Polish and you can speak Polish. I will try, however, speak in English. I will try to do my best. And first of all, dear brethren, I would like to bring you love from my parents who visited your class, who know probably everybody in this class, maybe not everybody, but I heard so much about you in Poland, about your zeal and about your warm love you expressed to everybody who came from Poland, that I should greet you first, that you have special blessings and special love for my folks, our class in Czarnów, and from my sister in England, right now in Oxford. And also from brethren I visited during my trip in the United States. From Jackson, from Winnipeg, Vancouver, Portland, Los Angeles, New York, and New England Convention. I enjoyed very much staying with my spiritual family in America, and I had a lot of blessings. I should say, I recharged my battery. Now I am really dynamic. I will come home, and I will enjoy this time I spent with you. What I would like to do right now, brethren, I would like first to remind you some events from David's history, and next I would like to draw some lessons for us, some individual lessons, and some lessons for the church as a whole group during Gospel Age. Let me start the story in the moment when David was secretly anointed to be a king in Israel. Next, he stayed with his father, and one day when his father sent him to visit his brothers, he was judged very severely by his brothers. He came to the camp because there was a war between Israelites and Philistines. And he was interested why they were not willing to fight against this man, Goliath. And he was willing to know more about this. So he came and asked them the question. We can read it in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 26. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that kills him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and the notness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. It was, I think, a very hard experience for David. Soon he became popular. You know, he was a very good soldier. And when his popularity was growing, Saul, the former king of Israel, became jealous. When women were singing, you know, they sang a special song. Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000. It was very hard to Saul. So he was very jealous. And one day, you know well this story, Saul tried to kill David. David was with king, and we can read about this in 18th chapter and verse 11. And Saul cast a javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Shortly after that, Saul tried to kill David and asked his son Jonathan to help him. You know, Jonathan refused to do it, but Saul tried once more to kill David. We can read about this in 19th chapter and verse 9 and 10. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul stopped to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. For the second time, he tried to kill David. Shortly after that, Saul tried to kill him once more, and it was his wife who helped him to escape. And David became afraid. So, it happened that he was afraid he may be killed once more by Saul, by the king. So, he asked his friend Jonathan to help him. You know that King Saul used to organize a feast. It was on the new moon day. And usually he used to invite his soldiers, his good soldiers especially. David was his best soldier. So, first day, when they organized this feast, Saul didn't see David. He asked his son Jonathan, where is David? And David told him Jonathan told him what David asked him to tell. He told him, David went to his city. We can read about this in chapter 20, verse 6. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice for all the family. But it was not true. David was waiting for Jonathan's answer. And Jonathan saw that the king was really against David and was very jealous, so Jonathan came and told him, you have to escape. So David did. Shortly after that, when he started to run away, he came to the high priest, to the city where the whole priest family used to live. And during this time, When he came to Nob, to Ahimelech, the high priest, Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, Why are you alone? Where are your soldiers? And you know what David said. We can read about this in 21st chapter and verse 2nd. And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king has commanded me a business and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I sent thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. He said, I have a secret message, secret job to do. So the high priest helped him, he gave him food, he gave him Goliath's sword, and David ran away. Next stop was when David came to the king. It wasn't an Israeli king, it was king of Gath. We can read about this in 21st chapter and verse 10 to 14. David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not think one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul had slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David led up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself made in their hands, and scrawled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that you have brought this fellow to play that the man, madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? He said, He is mad. David continued to escape. Shortly after that, he came to the place which in the Bible is called Cave Adullam. I don't know how you pronounce this name in English. That's the way we pronounce it in Polish. And all these people who were very close to him, his family, his friends, came to this cave and stayed with him. David was afraid that Saul can kill him, but still he was very willing to help his brothers in Jerusalem and in whole Israel. And so he did several times. Whenever they were in danger, he tried to help them. We can read it about this in 23rd chapter and verse 5. So David and his men went to Keriah and fought with the Philistines. Whenever David saw that his brothers were in danger, he tried to help them. But what Saul did? There was a group of men who lived nearby. They are called in our Bible Ziphites. We can read about them in 23rd chapter and verse 19. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doesn't David fight himself with us in a stronghold in the woods, in the hill of Halilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? They came to Saul and asked him, If you like to kill him, come with us. We'll show you where is David. So Saul did. He tried to kill David. But you know that the Lord overruled this story, and David could kill the king Saul, but he didn't. You know very well this story. I would like to quote only the words of David, what he answered his friends when they proposed him to kill the king Saul. That's the 24th chapter and verse 5. And it came to pass afterward that David's herd smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt, and he sent unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing upon my master the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeking he is the anointed of the Lord." He said, "I will never raise my hand against the anointed one, anointed by the Lord." Very soon after this, the same people probably came to King Saul and tried to once more to kill David. We can read about this in the 26th chapter and verse 1. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, "Doesn't David hide himself in the hill of Halilah, which is before Jeshimon?" They tried once more to tell Saul where David was with his soldiers. So David once more was in danger. And this time the story was almost identical. He came and he could kill the king Saul. And once more there was a strong temptation for David to kill his biggest enemy. And once more I would like to quote his reply. 26th chapter and verse 8. Then said Abishai to David. Abishai was the best friend of David, probably his best soldier. "God has delivered thy enemy into thy hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spur even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time." His friends asked him, "If you are not willing to kill the king, the bad king, I will do this for you." David refused once more to kill the king. Shortly after that, we can read about one more event which happened and which seems to be very important in this story. We can read about this in 27th chapter of 1 Samuel, verse 8 to 12. "And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites." That's the story which occurred in the same city where David went for the first time to visit the king Achish. He stayed with King Achish. "And David and his men went up and invited the Geshurites and the Gizurites and the Amalekites, for these nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, the oxen, and the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, 'Why there have you made a road today?' And David said, 'Against the south of Judah, and against the south of Jeremaleth, and against the south of Kenite.' And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to God, saying, 'Lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelt in the country of Philistines.' And Achish believed David, saying, 'He has made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever.'" That was the last mistake of David. David, I would like to mention to you. Right now, I would like to remember you these three mistakes. These were three lies of David. The first one was when he was afraid that Saul can kill him. So he asked his friend, Jonathan, "Go to the king and tell him I went to Bethlehem, to my city. But it was not true. He was still there, waiting for Jonathan's answer. For the second time, the second mistake of David was when he came to this city, Nob, where the high priest family used to live. And he said, I have a secret message. It wasn't true. He lied before Ahimelech, the high priest. And the third lie of David was when he was with King Achish. First, he tried to make himself mad. And next, when he was fighting against the Geshurites and Gezirites, he used to say, we went to Judah. It was not true. It was the third mistake, the third lie of David. That's the story. Somebody would say, it wasn't bad. It wasn't too bad. I think it was bad. Let's look very shortly at what followed, all these three mistakes of David. First of all, after the first mistake, after the first lie, David continued to escape. So it cost him, he had to follow the path he started this day when he started to lie. Next mistake was very, very dangerous, and it cost human life. We can read about this in 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel and verse 17 and 18. The king Saul heard about what happened in Nob, and he came. And the king sent unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and didn't not show it to me. But the servant of the king wouldn't put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg Edomite, turn down and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned and he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. Almost everybody in the high priest family was killed. And the third lie was also very dangerous, especially for David himself. We can read about this in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel and chapter 6. But before, I would like to tell you shortly the story. There was a last war probably between Philistines and Israelites, and during this war the king Achish decided that David can go with him to this war. And he took him and they went to this war. And during this time, when David and his soldiers were with King Achish, other nations came to the city where David stayed with his family, and they took the city. They took everybody from the city, their wives and children, and everything they took with them. So when the other kings saw David with King Achish, they said, we cannot take him with us because he's too dangerous for us. So send him back to his home. So David was sent with his soldiers back home. He came home and he saw that the city was taken. And David was afraid. David was afraid because people tried to stone him. We can read about this in the 30th chapter and verse 5, maybe 4, 5, and 6. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Israelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him because the soul of the old people was grieved, even men for his sons or for his daughters. People, even David's people, David's good soldiers, were against David. So, I think there's no doubt there were three mistakes of David. What is more, hypocrisy and lying to tell lies, it's the oldest weapon of Satan. You know what he said to Adam and Eve in Eden. You will never die. It was the first lie of the God's adversary. So I think the first lesson for us is very obvious. We can never tell lies. We can never try to solve our problems using hypocrisy or lying. That's very obvious. I think it's very important to remember this. But the second lesson I would like to draw from this history is based on the thought which Brother Russell mentioned in his writing, that David may represent the church on this side of the veil. I'm sure you know this thought very well. So I would like right now to draw some lessons for us, for the whole church during the gospel age, and I would like to link these three mistakes of David, three lies of David, with three temptations of our Lord, which were recorded in Matthew, the 4th chapter, and we can start to read in verse 4. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You know, it was the first temptation. If you are really Son of God, so feed yourself. Take care of yourself. I think it's very similar to the first mistake of David. David was afraid that Saul may kill him. And he tried to find his own solution, how to help himself. And so he did. He was afraid. I think that's a very important lesson for all Christians, and especially for the church. You know, the first Christians were persecuted. They suffered a lot. And when the time passed, they said, we have to change it. We do not like to suffer too much. And during this time, they tried to solve their problem. So, you know what they did. That's the history of the nominal system. They tried to vote, and their elders became good politicians. They were good people, very well known, and they tried to solve this problem, and very soon they became engaged in politics, and they tried to solve this problem like David did, because it was a big temptation, the same temptation probably, which was before when our Lord was tempted by the Satan. So it may be the lesson for the whole church. At the beginning, they tried to solve their problems in their own way, and they did a mistake. And we know that before David tried to help to solve these problems himself, at least three times he could lost his life, but Lord helped him. Probably he forgot that three times Saul tried to castle the javelin and tried to kill him, but he forgot about this and tried to solve this problem on his own. I think it was so with the first Christians. They forgot that God helped them even during persecution time. That's the first lie of David, the first temptation of our Lord, and the first mistake of Christians who suffered a lot and tried to solve their problems. The second mistake of David was very dangerous for priests. A lot of people lost their lives. And the second temptation was. We can read about this in 4 Matthew. When the devil takes him up into the holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall be bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So, it was the second temptation, I think very similar to the temptation when David tried to show to the high priest that he was something special. He was special, he had a secret message, and he felt that he was really special messenger of King Saul. But in result, the whole high priest family lost their lives. The people were killed. So was with Christians. When the nominal system started to grow up, a lot of Christians lost their spiritual life. We can read it about this story in the Revelation, in the book of Revelation, when we can read about this different stages of the church, when a lot of people lost their lives. It's the second chapter of Revelation. And I think it was the second temptation which was addressed to the church as a whole during Gospel Age. To feel that you are something really special, unusual, and you have to take care of everything. You are in charge of keeping truth. And so was with the nominal system. They were the only ones who were recognized by the Lord in their opinion, and they tried to do their best. And we know how it was during Dark Ages, when the true followers of Jesus were persecuted, and a lot of people lost their spiritual life because they were tempted and they entered into earthly arrangements and into politics. So it was the second mistake of David to show that he is something special, and so was with the Christians who formed this nominal system. And the third lie of David was also very dangerous. He engaged himself to politics. He used to go to war and he lied before the king Achish. And he could lose his life before the people wanted to stone him. So was with our Lord. He was also tempted in some similar way. When the devil take him up on an exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And we can read it in the 4th Matthew and 9th verse. And said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. We know what Jesus answered him all 3 times. But it was a severe temptation. If you worship me, I will give you power. So I will give you power of ruling. This was also very strong temptation for David, who engaged in this earthly political things, and so was with Christians. You know, when the Reformation movement rose up in Europe, they were good people, they studied their Bibles, and they knew truth, but shortly after that, they became involved in political movements too. So was in Germany, so was in England. When the English king saw a good opportunity to have his own church and to separate from Rome, so he did. And good Christians were once more involved in earthly politics. And so was with German people, with German Protestants. It was the third mistake of David, who also was engaged in politics and this wars with Gizurites and other nations. I think it was very dangerous for the church to be involved in any political movement during the whole Gospel Age. So it was, I think, in my country and in your country. It may be also a very important lesson for us individually. Because if we take all these three mistakes and all these three temptations, we can also draw some lessons for us. You know, sometimes we are engaged in our work, we are very busy because we try to do our best and to have enough money to live. And that's true, that's right. We cannot give up this because, you know, there's one scripture in Proverbs. I knew this scripture, I don't know when I, for the first time when I heard it, but I know it by heart. It's from Proverbs 18, verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a greater waster. We know very well this scripture, and we all know very well that our Lord was every time willing to help people. Whenever he saw people who were starving, those who were hungry, those who were sick, he was very willing to help them. And it was a temptation for him because he could be fully engaged in this work, but it was not his main goal when he was present for the first time on earth. And so it's with us. Sometimes we have to go to work and we have to live. But it also may be a temptation for us to take care of ourselves. Like David did this time, he tried to solve his problem on his own. The second temptation, the second mistake of David was also similar. Satan probably asked him, show that you have a secret message, that you are something special. The same was the temptation which Satan addressed to our Lord. Show them that you are something special. That the angels will take care of you. And sometimes we have also a similar temptation in our life. We can read about this in 2 Timothy and 2 chapter verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that made not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have this scripture and we know that we have to be good Bible students, that we have to learn, we have to study individually. And sometimes it can be also a temptation to be really individual, to have some own thoughts, which are maybe different than our brother's thoughts, and it's also a temptation. The same with the power. We do not like any power as a Bible student. I think you have the same in Paul. But we still have this question of authorities and rulers. And I would like to quote Hebrews 13 and 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for then watch for your souls, and they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The similar thought we can read in 1 Timothy 5, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and the doctrine. So, we have to show our respect to elders and to those people who are in charge of some work in the Lord's service. And sometimes we have to take care of our own needs. We have to work. We have to be good Bible students. And that's the most difficult. That's the temptation. Lord never tried to show us something which is really wrong, to kill somebody. That's not a good temptation. The good temptation is always very difficult to describe. And we have to do all these things. And very often in our life, we can be tempted in the same way. I think it's very important to recognize all these temptations and to know it, that we have to lie on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we are sure that He will help us like the Lord helped David to escape three times when Saul tried to kill him. But I would like to draw another lesson, which may be also very important for us in the same story. The first one was very obvious. Don't use lie. Never. Never. The second one was the lesson for the whole church, and also some individual lessons for us, because we also have temptations. The third lesson I would like to base on this group of people which were called Ziphites. They were really bad people. We read about them. They tried to tell the king Saul probably three times, because there is another one place in the Bible. We quoted two places. 1 Samuel 23 and 19 and 26:1, where these people came to King Saul and told him that David was in the wilderness, and they were willing to show him the place where David was. And the similar event for the third time we can find in 24th chapter of 1 Samuel and verse 2. First verse. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistine, that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." So three times there were people who were willing to kill David. David was helping them, and they were willing to kill him. So it's the bad example to follow. We can never do this. What we have to do, I think we have to try to be like David was. And I would like to quote once more David's answer when he could kill the king Saul. 24th chapter and verse 6. "The Lord forbade that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him." And for the second time, there was really a strong temptation for David. When his friend said, "If you are not willing to kill the king Saul, it was written that the day will come that God will give your enemies into thy hands. I will do this for you. You will not kill him, I will do this." And notice that David answered to Abishai, his soldiers. And David, it's 26th chapter and verse 9. "And David sent to Abishai, 'Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?' And David said furthermore, 'As the Lord lives, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish.'" That's the best answer David could give to his soldiers. And I think it's a beautiful example to follow for us. We never can raise our hand against Lord's anointed people. The story of David is very interesting. And I would like to close with another example, another beautiful lesson I found in Poland, in one of magazines Brethren from America sent to me. This thought was based on one person, I would say rather unpopular, unfamiliar for us, because the name of this man was Mahir, son of Amiel. Some of us may know this thought, because I heard when Brother Carl came for the first time into Poland, when I met him for the first time, he told me this story. I enjoyed this lesson very much, and I would like to remind it for you. Son of Mahir. We can read about this man in 2 Samuel 9 chapter and verse 4 and 5. When David was already anointed a king and he had power, he tried to find if there is anybody left of the house of Saul. And we can read about this in chapter 9 verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show my kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba sent unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in the Lodebar. So King David sent his servant to his house and took Jonathan's son to his house. And he was really... This is really nice picture for us to follow. Who was Machir, son of Amiel? I would like to quote some scriptures which may explain us who was Machir. The first one is in the First Chronicles, and chapter 3 and verse 5. Especially the last part of this verse. First Chronicles, and chapter 3 and verse 5. And these were born unto him, these are David's sons in Jerusalem. Shohab, Nathan, and Solomon, four of Bethshua, the daughter of Amiel. Daughter of Amiel. So, Bathsheba was his sister. Bathsheba was Machir's sister. Next scripture I would like to quote is from 2 Samuel Eleventh chapter and verse 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. When he saw Bathsheba, he sent a servant. And one said, the verse 3, 11:3. And one said, Is it not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? So, Bathsheba was the daughter of Amiel or Eliam. Eliam and Amiel are the same person in the Bible, because this is the same person, Bathsheba or Bathshua. She had two names in the Bible. And the third scripture is also from 2 Samuel 23 and 34, fourth verse. Especially the last part of the verse. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel the Gilonite. So, if you would like to repeat once more the whole family. So, Ahithophel was Machir's grandfather. His son was Amiel. Ahithophel's son was Amiel. And he has two children, Bathsheba and Machir. This one we met when David was seeking for the Jonathan's son. So, this is especially important when we realize what Machir did when Absalom rebelled against the king David. You know, when Absalom was against David, his best friend, his best counselor was Ahithophel. He was a very wise man, and he was probably the wisest one in Israel this time. Ahithophel, Machir's grandfather, gave David the best advice. Gave Absalom the best advice. Follow David immediately, and you can kill him if you follow him immediately. You know that Absalom didn't do so. He waited, and David was able to escape. But Ahithophel's advice was very wise, and he was probably the biggest David's enemy. Why? Because Bathsheba was his granddaughter. And he was strongly against David, because David caused the death of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. But what did the same time, what did our favorite Machir? We can read about this in 2 Samuel 17 and 27. And it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Nashab of Rabbah, of children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodebar, and Barzillai, the Gilead of Rogelim, brought beds, basins, and the earthen vessels, and wheat, and barley, and flour, and parched corn, and beans, and lentils, and parched pulse, and honey, and butter, and sheep, and cheese of kine, for David, and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry, and weary, and thirsty in the wilderness. So, grandfather was strongly against David, but his grandson, Bathsheba's brother, was the man who was seeking for anybody who was in danger and who needed help. So was with the son, Jonathan's son, and so was with David. David was escaping from Jerusalem, and he was willing to help him because he saw that David was in danger. I think it's the beautiful example for us. How we can do and what we can do to our enemies. And I think we are also soldiers, like David was. And we have to try to be as honest as possible. Never use the hypocrisy, never try to lie. That's the first and probably the most effective weapon of Satan. And in closing, I would like to read a scripture from the New Testament, from the 2 Timothy, verse 3 to 5. 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, and verse 3 to 5. Though therefore angel enter hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that worth entangles himself with the efforts of his life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully.
Thank you, Brother Dadiush, for reviewing with us those events in the life of David, connecting them with our Lord's three temptations in the wilderness and the history of the church in the gospel age, and especially for drawing for us the lessons that apply to us today in our consecrated walk. I'd like to encourage each of you to get to know Brother Dadiush in fellowship if you have the opportunity. I think many of you who attended the International Convention already know him and came to know him in his hard work and labors of love there in setting up the PA equipment and the translation equipment, working all day and into the night and through the night to have that equipment ready for the convention. Besides serving his own ecclesia as an elder, he has been very active in showing for this cause in Poland, and he has some fascinating stories to tell that I'm sure you'll enjoy if you can take that opportunity. There's much more I could say, but I'll save that for your personal fellowship with him. Brother Dadiush will close this meeting with prayer, after which please be seated for some announcements.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Heavenly Father, we approach thee in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank thee for all your gifts, for all your beautiful promises from your words, for the high calling promise, and for all your precious promises. Help us, dear Father, to be your good soldiers. Help us to follow our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. We